a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor?
I can't tell if that was cute or creepy. Ah, fuck it. Welcome to season two.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
What's going on? It's Mike. This is Ego and Vice. This is episode 41, but also this is the season two premiere. Season premiere. I guess a little while back I decided to take a break, and I did take a break, and I refreshed and I recharged the batteries. And I couldn't wait to get back into the lavish, luxurious walls of South Hood Studio to bang out the season premiere of season two, episode 41 of fucking Ego and Vice. And I couldn't be happier to be here right now. And I couldn't be happier to be talking to you, my neighbors, right? Well, not many of you are my neighbors, but I'll consider you my neighbors. What the hell? Oh, shit. How have you been? I've been good. Always moving forward. Always got to move forward. That's a big thing. I think that's a big thing. Because if you're not moving forward, you're standing still. Or you're falling backwards. This is like my motto. This is like my thing now. I say that to myself. Also, like I said before, get up in the morning. Make a goddamn bed. That's it. So yeah, I'm really happy to be back on the podcast. And for season two, I have a big list of things to do. Things I want to accomplish while I'm here. And I'm here for the next 11 months. I've decided. I have it all mapped out and timed out. 11 months. And I'm going to put a little bit more extra work into season two. With season one, I ended up with 44 episodes. Well, yes, 44. 40 regular episodes, 4 spotlight episodes. But I'm going to push a lot harder this time around, this season. And I want to end season two on episode 100. That's my goal. So I have 59 episodes to do starting now, starting with this one, until I take my summer break next year in 2019. And that's a broad thing to look at. That's a long ways away, and it's a big goal to reach. But unless you set goals in your life, what the hell's the point, right? So my goal is episode 100, and I know that we're going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try to do it, provided I survive the year. Who knows? I got a couple of tours coming up. So I'm bringing the podcast gear with me, and I'm going to have some pretty special guests that I'm super excited about, and I'm not going to tell you about them because it's episode 41. Technically, it's episode 1 of season 2, so we'll get into that as the season progresses. My first season, I really, really concentrated on local music and some out-of-town stuff. I'm still going to do that. Egan Vice is always going to be about local musicians, local artists. But I've decided for this season, I'm going to branch a little farther. And not only am I going to cover local music, I'm also going to cover local businesses. And I'm not talking about like pizza. I'm talking about people who are out there with their startup DIY businesses, really, you know, just like a musician or just like a band, just trying to make a name for themselves. And I'm going to have those people on. I actually have a couple of special guests on this show who are not only friends of mine and affiliated with music, in music that I play and they play and we play together, but they also have a local business called Wizard Greens. Fuck that up right off the bat. Season 2 is going off without a hitch. In the studio, I have Sarah Destruction and I have Joshua Boyd. And I also have my left-hand man. You know him. You love him. Mr. Pauly J. Fox. And we have a lot of announcements and they have a lot of information to give. And you know what? I could go on about myself, but I'm not gonna. I'm gonna talk about them. I'm just happy to be back. I'm feeling good. I feel energized. Whoa. And I feel ready to tackle this new season. And I can't wait just to get back in the swing of things, because when I took the break from the podcast, I really needed the break, and I'm back earlier than I expected. I said September, but I'm back early. I don't care, because I needed it. I missed it, and I missed all of you, and I missed talking into this microphone that's covered in fucking cat hair right now. Anyway, so, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a song, and then on the other side of the song, we're going to come back with Miss Sarah Destruction, Joshua Boyd, and my left-hand man, Mr. Pauly J. Fox. It feels fucking great to be back. All right, this is Ego and Vice.
Take all my reasoning away. Take all the common sense and courtesy you crave. I'm gonna tell it to you straight. It's hard to pass the blame when it's red in your face.
Welcome back. This is the season premiere of season 2 of Ego and Vice. I guess this is episode 41. I'm so happy to be back. I wasn't going to come back as quickly as I did. I was going to wait till the fall, maybe September. But I realized that some of the stuff you do that makes you happy, don't walk away from it. Dive head first. So even though I took maybe 3 weeks, I think I took about a month off, I'm back with episode 41, season 2, season premiere, and the only two people I can imagine having on the show, for one, is my left-hand man, Mr. Pauly J. Fox.
That's me.
And the returning guest, the one and the only, Miss Sarah Destruction.
Hey.
I know. Look at us. The gang's back together. How are you guys?
I'm pretty good. I'm missing MXC Monday on Twitch to be here.
MXC.
Remember that show? Remember Most Extreme Elimination Challenge? Oh, yeah.
Was that the original one with all the Asian people who were like...
Yeah.
Took headers into like dirty water?
Yeah.
Right. There's a new season out?
No. On Twitch, they're replaying all the the episodes. Every Monday, there's a channel that just streams different TV shows, and that's one they picked up, and they've just been doing that every Monday. It's just marathon all day long of MXC. I watch it all day long. It's great.
Amazing.
And you're making me miss that, Mike.
Well, sorry. Is that why you sent me the MXC like theme song and you're like, Goat should cover this theme song?
Yes, that would be, we absolutely should cover that.
Okay.
That'd be great.
All right. Well,
that's a great song. I love that song.
Maybe we will. Having Sarah back in the studio, there's a small guest in the studio, which is new to the podcast.
Yeah, you might hear him. My baby's here.
Yay.
Baby Nicola, baby's first podcast.
Yay.
He's 6 months now, so you might hear him babbling in the background at some point.
Yeah. Him and my cat buddy will be talking. God knows what they'll be saying to each
Chewing
other.
Chewing on some wires.
But perhaps, yeah. So, you had a baby.
I did. Yeah, last time I was on, I think I was pregnant. I was pregnant. But, he's here in the world now.
Mm-hmm.
And, motherhood's been awesome. It's been crazy.
Yeah.
It's been a wild ride, but it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. He must be growing fast because last time I saw him, he was just like a little pink ball of dough. And now look at, he has like a face and he's got some feet and look at, I think he's trying to arm wrestle somebody there.
Yeah. I even have a little baby vest here for him.
Oh, nice. I have to make a little goat patch for him.
Yeah. No, he's learning like every day. He's just, it's wild. It's amazing to watch them grow.
Yeah. How's your sleeping? Are you sleeping again?
I'm exhausted. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. But you make it work.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You learn to live like a zombie, but it's good.
Yeah. See, I have no kids, so I don't know. I don't have a frame of reference when it comes to this. But, Polly, you have a son.
Yeah, I do. That's why I'm opening another beer. All this parenting talk drives me to drink. No, he's great. Yeah, it's I don't know. I know what you're going through because, man, when they're little, you have to devote so much attention to making sure they don't kill themselves. And that's just where all your energy goes. It's draining. It's draining. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, cheers to that.
There you go.
Cheers.
That's what you did back then, too, right?
Well, yeah, that's how you deal with it.
Uh-huh. I don't know what it's like to have newborns, but I did have a couple of younger people in my life for a little while, and I think I got the best part of it though, because they were just like my little buddies, you know what I mean? And I didn't have to deal with any poop.
Yeah, once the poop is over and they are your little buddies, it's so much fun.
Okay.
Yeah, my son was up all summer, and oh man, we just had a blast. He's at the age where we can hang out and play video games and talk about we'll tell each other the dirty jokes that we know and all this kind of stuff.
Nathan has dirty jokes. How old is he? 13.
Yeah, he's 13.
What's his dirtiest joke? Let's hear it.
Oh, jeez.
It's like Madame Foot's caught in the door.
No, I don't remember. All I remember is telling him some of the ones that I use and how terrible they were, but he couldn't stop laughing. Okay. It was great. Yeah, we were watching MasterChef Australia all the summer. That's that's kind of something.
That's your jam,
watched.
Yeah. No,
yeah, and it was just things like one episode. There was a guy that used these. There's like these little mollusks that are called peepees.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, exactly, right? See, we couldn't stop laughing about peepees all the time. Oh, he's like, he wants to put those peepees in his mouth now, and all these, just that was like the running joke all summer. So, that kind of fun. They get to an age where you make joke about peepees.
You gotta accept him for who he is.
Exactly.
Accept, it's true. It's true. That's what he wants to do. Have you guys ever seen that Facebook video with the no fucking boop boop? Fucking boop boop.
Oh, I have not.
No, I don't know.
All right, forget about it. It doesn't matter. All right, so here on Ego and Vice, wow, it's been a while since I've done a podcast, so I'm just kind of weaving my way back in, and Polly and Sarah asked me, is there some kind of script this time? Do we have anything? I said, nah, let's just wing it. Let's just see how it goes. But there is some super big news as far as the GOAT family is concerned. Now, GOAT has been together for, as me and Polly have said ad nauseum, for 7 years, and we've gone on about it. And Sarah was in the band for about a year and a half, about 2 years ago.
2 years, yeah, I think.
Yeah, and recently, and then me and Polly and Mike went back to being a three-piece. But upon new fantastic fucking exploding news, guess who's back in the band?
Me.
Yeah, Sarah has Sarah has agreed to come back into GOAT.
I'm back.
I know. So, I guess it was kind of an off-the-cuff thing, because we recorded this record recently, me and Polly and Mike did, and it didn't turn out so good. It ended up turning out really good.
Yeah, it sounds okay now, but...
But the first kind of mix of it came back, and it was just, like, thin and messy, and Mike will never hear this, but Mike's getting old.
It wasn't... Well, and it wasn't the same either, you know?
Yeah.
It was different, but...
Because you didn't have... Zero Distraction there. Exactly.
That's right. And for me, when I listened to it, it was just very thin, and I was just like, we need more guitar. We need fucking more guitar. So I started to reach out to some friends and just see if they wanted to come out and do like a guest spot or a tryout, I guess, for GOAT. And we had a guy come out who's an awesome dude, and we got to thank him. Jesse Brewer came out from the Flydowns, who are a rad band from Ottawa.
Yeah, he's great.
And he put in some time to learn some of the songs, and he came out, and he did awesome. And it has nothing to do with his playing. It has nothing to do with his ability or the effort he put into it. And he was really into it, and I really thank him for that. But in the same time period, Sarah, you called me or you texted me the other day, and you're like, oh, I want to talk to you. I'm like, okay, that's weird. And then you're like, and I said, call me, I'm home. And then you just called me, and we started talking, and then we started talking about GOAT and stuff like that. And I basically said, well, you're always going to be part of the family, no matter what. So why don't we see what we can do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it literally is very organic, the conversation. And I think it just kind of fell into our laps that would happen.
And I called Polly, then I called Mike, and everyone gave okay. And
Well, not just the okay, it was an enthusiastic hell yes, I think, from the both of us.
Well, it makes me feel special.
Well, you are. So, yeah. So there.
So, and it's just like...
Well, I'm excited. I can't wait. I haven't jammed now. It's been like about a year, so...
Yeah. So we're gonna make some noise again, and we're gonna do the best we can with what we got, and just keep going on. And it's great to have you back in the collective, because in a way you were always there, and then you weren't there, but you were always still there. Do you know what I mean? And I think the times that we had, and great shows, and great bowling, and just, you know, fried tofu and all that stuff. You've always been a part of the family, so it feels very right to have you back. Feels very comfortable, and it's great for I don't mean to gush about it, but I'm like super excited about it.
I've been gushing about it too. I've been, you know, even talking about it to Kayla, and the first thing she said was, "Oh, no way!" And she told all everybody that she knows that likes the band, and they were all excited too to hear it. And it's been great news.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I'm just it's like the Blues Brothers. I'm putting the band back together.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a good. For a cheers, eh?
Yeah, just cheers. This is an on-podcast cheers. Season 2. There we go. Episode 41.
I got to get myself a beer to cheers.
I sent Eric a message. I'm like, hey, guess what? He's like, what? Because Eric, you know. And I'm like, Sarah's back in the band. And he's like, who's Sarah?
No.
He's just fucking around. It was funny. And then he's like,
Eric.
Yeah, and he's like, that's awesome. So, all right. Hey, man, this has been a good kind of segment to come back in. Let's play a song. I don't know what we're going to play, but let's play something, and then we'll come back, and we'll start discussing what the fuck's going on in the world. Cool?
See you soon.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for picking up your mics.
Look, I'm opening a beer, okay?
All right.
That's
so
important to the next segment.
This is season 2, season premiere, episode 41. This is Ego and Vice. Clear, but you just can't relate. So with Ego and Vice season two, with season one, I really, really focused on local music and local artists and whatnot. And that was my whatnot, eh, Polly?
Whatnot.
Yeah, whatnot. But that was my main focus to kind of get that across with season one. And I feel like I did that. My goal for season two is to branch off. Ego and Vice will always be about local music. It'll always be about local artists. It'll always be about promoting local talent. But that being said, I think there's a lot more talent in Ottawa that is past the music scene or the art scene, and it's into the, like, the local business. That being said, I am going to really concentrate on just really, really promoting everything Ottawa. Not just music, but businesses and people who are maybe DIY, just trying to, you know, make a name for themselves in Ottawa, make Ottawa bigger, make a company in Ottawa, that kind of stuff. And we'll see how that goes too. And just as luck would have it, with Sarah in the studio tonight, Sarah is also joined by her better half, or her worse half. I'm not sure how we want to coin that. Mr. Joshua Boyd.
Hello.
And they actually have a local business right now.
We
do you guys
do.
Want to talk about that?
Sure. So Josh and I, we own a local organic microgreen business called Wizard Greens. I'll let Josh explain a little bit more about what we do.
Technically, we're not certified organic. We just have organic seeds, but we only use water and light and the organic seeds on hemp mats to grow. So technically, you can take it for what it is, which is pretty much organic.
And what are microgreens?
Microgreens are, you can take most veggies and grow them and harvest them when they're still very young. So after about 10 to 14 days, they'll have a nice leafy top that you can kind of cut and put into salads, mix it into various smoothies or food sandwiches. Sarah knows a little bit more about that. She's a little bit more of the cook of the two of us. I'm enjoying growing them.
Yeah, so basically they're like very like mini veggies. Like I call them like next level sprouts. So they're kind of like sprouts, but you grow them a bit more. You don't eat the seed and you harvest them. So you have all, like, we have about 12 different varieties right now, and super nutritious. Very good for you. A lot of fun to grow.
We have kale, wasabi, broccoli, some peas, some different radishes, some arugula.
So you'd end up using it like you use like fresh herbs or something like that. Like you would chop up some parsley or something. You would just take some of this and put it on something as a,
yeah,
as
you could,
like a,
yeah, a lot of chefs will use them as garnishes.
Right. Right.
But they're so nutritionally good for you that you could literally use them on anything. Like we use them on sandwiches, put them in salads, you know, throw them on a pasta sauce, throw them in a chili, like really whatever you're cooking, put them in omelets. People
I'd imagine you get the same kind of like nutrients out of it that you'd get out of the not quite the full grown version of what it is, but something along the same line of that same kind of nutrients from it or something.
Yeah,
like
apparently
I'm not a dietitian.
Well, apparently they haven't. There haven't been too many studies done on microgreens yet, but they say that they're like what 4 to 40 times more nutritious,
nutrient dense. So
nutrient
per weight
dense.
Of the actual vegetable, if you're comparing the two,
right? Because I guess as it's young, it's kind of packing itself with all the nutrients in it to grow, and you're taking it kind of before it hits that point, just using it then. That's cool.
Yeah, right off the seed itself, all the nutrients are coming just from the seeds, so you don't have to add any fertilizers or anything like that to help it grow. It just grows naturally at that stage, and then you can just
and what was the idea that got you guys started on the microgreens?
Well, when we went to BC, we were living on an organic farm out there, and we learned a lot from this farmer out there, Chris, and he helped us learn about microgreens and gave us our first set of lights, microgreen indoor lights, to take with us home. And at the time, we thought, you know, that's nice. Maybe, you know, maybe we'll grow some for ourselves. But sooner rather than later, we were back at home and setting up microgreens. And people were asking for some. And here we go.
And how have you been, like, marketing it? And you guys are both vegan, right?
No, I'm more plant-based, vegan. Josh is pescatarian, so he'll indulge in some fish.
Okay.
Do
you find that your client, do you push like towards a clientele of that?
Well,
we
promote it on different groups, on Facebook. I'm part of the Ottawa Vegan and Vegetarian group. But you know, we also just promote it to like Ottawa foodie groups, like restaurants, friends. We have an Instagram, we have a Facebook, we have a website, wizardgreens.ca.
But we also have a baby.
We also have a baby, yes. he loves the microgreens too, so we give him microgreens as well.
Nice.
So we're starting him early.
What I love about the microgreens the most is, unlike lettuce or kale, they'll be a much more flavorful boost. Like your Polly was saying earlier, it's like throwing almost like a herb on there. It's really dense in a flavor of the full-grown veggie. So if you're throwing the broccoli on, you're going to get a nice hint of broccoli.
Nice.
In the sandwich, almost as a green.
Cool.
So I love it. But for marketing, we've been all across most social media now, and I find a lot of the business actually come from LinkedIn. Right. If you guys are familiar with LinkedIn. Just by adding people on and regularly posting, people have reached out to us and want to kind of start getting larger orders. So we've been working mainly with distributors, a few retailers, and some restaurants in Ottawa, but we've been kind of staying away from the farmers markets.
That was my next question. Yeah.
Yeah. One.
Why is that?
We've done one, but we find the time you spend at the market, it's, you know, you can kind of take that whole element out of the equation and just sell right to a distributor. So you don't have to be spending a whole day selling yourself. Not to say that we won't do in the future. It is possible that, you know, maybe we would hire someone and kind of hand them off to them to work throughout the day to sell. But
or when Nicola gets older.
Or when he gets older, yeah. It's hard with the baby right now to find the time to do the markets. But I think farmers markets are great, and we shop there for our fruits and veggies. And they're a great way to connect with the people that you're actually selling to and to meet the people that you're selling to.
Mm-hmm.
So we love the farmers markets. But I think just for this year, it's just not the right step for us to go. So we're selling directly to restaurants, as Josh mentioned, and grocery stores.
That kid's the heir to the empire, so pay attention there, young man. As he stares blindly at Paul's.
It's true. Like he's learning. He's learning right away. And like he comes with us in the microgreen room every day. And in order for me to work sometimes, I have to baby carry him. So I'm wearing him on my back as I'm watering and harvesting and so he's learning everything right now.
So has half your house become like a greenhouse? Like,
well, we actually just had to move from our first location because we had one room set up to grow microgreens in.
Uh-huh.
And then we got more clients. So then we had took over Nicola's room that turned into a microgreens room. And then we went into our kitchen and then we're like, okay, we have to get a bigger space. So we actually just relocated now and we have...
Because of the business?
Because of the business.
Wow.
So we have a space right now dedicated to our basement that we're setting up into a clean, sterile space right now. And it's devoted completely to growing the microgreens.
And where did you move? What's your address and phone number? Whoops. I'm just joking. That's awesome though, guys.
Thank you.
I think... When I first came and saw the baby, Josh, you had mentioned that this was something that you wanted to do. And that was probably, maybe 4 or 5 months ago?
I think that was.
And you guys have already expanded to the point where you needed a bigger space.
Where you need to move to accommodate and have more space for it. That's great.
It's really come, the business has come quite quicker than first anticipated, which is a good problem to have.
Cool. Mikey from Goat, he had a business called called the Cannelloni Brothers.
Yeah.
Him and his brother Paul started making like Italian foods and pastas and lasagnas and all that kind of stuff
the
and
best
pizza. Oh, so good pizza!
Their dipping sauce.
Oh yeah,
I had some of their garlic dipping sauce.
Oh yeah, right.
Oh yeah,
was outstanding.
But they started selling some of their product in Farm Boys.
Right.
And stuff like that. Can you guys, how do you go about that?
It's definitely something that we're looking into right
And is it a really competitive market?
It is a fairly competitive market to get into some places. When I checked out Herb and Spice, they're full with microgreens right now, but during the winter season, because the farmers markets go away, there seems to be a bunch more space there, so they would be willing to take it on. But we just more recently are starting to differentiate ourselves a little differently than some of the other Mike Green companies. We had a rabbi come over to our house and inspect our microgreen spots.
Make it kosher?
And our microgreens are in the process of going kosher.
Oh, nice.
No
as way.
We speak. So, you know, they may have microgreens in these stores, but they won't have kosher microgreens.
Kosher microgreens. Yeah, that's nice.
And also, speaking of Farm Boy, we're not in Farm Boy, but you can find us right now at Produce Depot on Carling Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So
and New Grocer.
And New Grocer on Wellington Street. Currently right now to buy our greens.
And then our other major suppliers, we're working with McCartney Farms as well as Gaetane Cyr, and they distribute to the Casino de Lactalime and Chateau Laurier and a bunch of the hotels around the city. So
awesome.
That's where we
And at Little Joe Berry's, we'll use our greens as well on her food.
Oh, that's cool. And what would you like to see, like, from the company? What do you want to do with it?
Where do you see yourselves in 5 years?
Oh, man.
Both Sarah and I would probably answer that a little differently.
I would love to be able to have a storefront one day where people can, like, walk in and be able to watch our process, watch microgreens being grown, be able to order packages of our microgreens there, also slash cafe, and have awesome vegan food and coffee and be using our microgreens in the food that we cook. So... I really do hope to have, like, an actual, you know, commercial space to grow our greens. That would be great.
Josh said his outlook was different. What was yours?
I see sort of setting up these kind of microgreen growers in different cities and almost as a franchisee possibility, as well as what Sarah's saying. I think that would be a great aspect to it. But I think kind of set them up as many cities as you can, and I think would help kind of empower people to grow their own food locally and kind of take some of the major impacts of the global food supply chain, kind of minimize some of the damages that they're doing, and kind of help the world that way. I always was inspired to do something that would be kind of positive instead of a negative in this world. And I thought that would be just one small little way I could do it. I can't really do much else. So I thought that was a good way.
Well, that's a mouthful, and that's a hell of a mission statement. Good for you guys.
Thank you.
Super happy. Can you guys plug anything you can as far as websites, as far as...
Yeah, where to find everybody on... Yeah, where to find you on Facebook and...
Yeah, definitely. We have a website. It's www.wizardgreens.ca. And you can find us as well on Facebook at Wizard Greens. And our Instagram is Wizard Greens as well.
Okay. All these links will be on this episode of Ego and Vice. So if you guys like what you hear and you want to inquire a little bit further, you can always send them a message or make an order.
Yeah, we do free delivery within Ottawa if you spend $15. So you can go right on our website and order right from the website if you want some greens, and we'll deliver them right to you.
All right. Very good. We're going to play another song. That was, I guess, technically, as per season two, going off the new format of local businesses. Hooray. We got through it. It was fucking great.
Yeah.
All right. Let's play a song, and we'll be right back. This is episode 41, Ego and Vice.
Let's go.
Okay, we're back. This is season two premiere, season premiere of Ego and Vice. So, yeah, we talked about the microgreen business. We talked about the new edition of Goat, the old new edition, the new old edition. I don't even know what to call it. So I figure, you know what I mean? Like, we don't have any script for this one, so we're just going to kind of go off and stuff like that. It's great to see you guys, man. I haven't seen you guys in so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
awesome.
Been a long time.
Missed
Much
you.
Too long.
Yeah, I see Paulie all the time.
Yeah, we're sick of each other.
No, I love this guy. Look at that face. Look at that. I just want to squeeze
right?
his cheeks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
run your fingers through my long wavy hair now.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess we've all just been doing our things and whatever.
Well, last time since we spoke, you've been through a couple breakups, and I wouldn't mind hearing
a couple.
Well, one breakup. My mistake, sir.
Well, just, one big one.
Yeah,
I
one
think,
big
yeah.
one. Yeah. Is what I meant, and so yeah. I wouldn't mind turning the tables on you and asking you, you know, how have you been?
I like this. So yeah, let's talk about you, Mike.
Well, I've been good, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, it's been a tough bunch of months. I'm not gonna lie to you. Went through kind of a low period there, but. I spent the last 4 months just really taking time to myself and kind of reflecting and trying to figure out what I needed in my life. You know what I mean? Started seeing a therapist. I see her once a week, which has been super helpful. She's a psychologist. Her name's Jessica. And I started on the recommendation of my doctor, I started... taking some meds, some antidepressant, anti-anxiety. I started out with this drug called mirtazapine. It was like antidepressant, anti-anxiety, but it was more for insomnia, I guess, because I told my doctor I wasn't sleeping well. And but it was bad because I was like sedated the whole time. And
some medications can be... pretty heavy.
Yeah, like I was the guy that it was always kind of like no, I got everything in control and I can, you know, I can handle this and I can handle that and whatever, I'll just do it, I'll just go play a rock show and everything's good. But I reached a point in my life after said incident where I realized that I was a little out of control, you know, and I did some things that weren't good things to do, and I realized that I needed to kind of step back and kind of really take a lot of my own personal life in check and figure out what the fuck I was doing with my life. You know what I mean? Mm. And I did that. And that's what I've spent the last 4 months kind of doing, is just spending time by myself with good, plus with good friends, the support of good friends like Paulie. We've had many a long conversation. I called Paulie one time. It was like the middle of the day, he was working and I was like driving back from somewhere. And I'm like, I called him up and I was like literally panicking. I'm like, dude, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And you're like, no, man, you're good.
You're good.
Yeah. I'm like, I haven't eaten in 4 days, and I can feel my heart in my skull. And just stay on the phone with me, man. Just stay on the phone with me.
Oh, that's so scary.
Oh, that's what we do, though. You know, I don't know. When you get close to somebody and they call you and they say, oh yeah, you know, you got to be there for them. And we're brothers, man. We're brothers.
Yeah.
You do the same for me.
I would.
That's what friends.
And
are
imagine
for.
The tone was quite serious at the time. It wasn't so jovial.
It was very panicky. Yeah. It was very panicky. That was a couple months ago. But yeah, so I've been going to see my therapist and I've been taking the meds accordingly. And time is an amazing thing because time will really heal a lot of stuff, and also will self-reflection, meditation, and just figuring out what you need from your life. You know what I mean? And I never realized I was a person that needed help, like when it came to like mental health. You know what I mean? I never realized I was that kind of person. I won't say I looked at people and like kind of went, "Paw, those people." I never did. I just never had a really thought about it until it was time to realize.
Well, I'm glad that you took that time to focus on yourself and you know, do what you need to do to make yourself be the best person that you can be, you know?
Yeah. Every step I've taken in the last 4 months is to try and be a better person and to try and change my way of thinking and try to really focus in on just doing things that are productive and healthy for me. Do you know what I mean? And it's been I don't want to say I'm glad it happened, but I will say if it didn't happen, I'd probably still be a fucking in the dark kind of mess. You know what I mean? Is that weird to say?
No, it's not weird to say. I think it means you're trying to make a positive out of the situation, right?
Well, it's when you step up and face issues that you have, like that's something that takes fucking balls as far as I'm concerned, man. Like, you know, you could have just, as far as the phone call you talked about with me, like you could have just kept driving and tried to deal with it yourself. But man, like everybody needs to talk to somebody sometimes. And that's the kind of thing that I think more people should realize about situations like that, is that, you know, you have people around you that care about you, and, you know, sometimes you lean on them, and, you know, it's one of those things that you just reach out to the people that you care about. But doing that takes a level of bravery that I think there's kind of a stigma, especially with, you know, I don't know, with a lot of people, that they don't want to do that. They're too focused on themselves.
Ego.
Their ego.
Ego advice.
Exactly. Yeah. They're too focused on their ego that they say, well, no, I don't want to reach out to that person, or I don't want to, you know, bother that person with somebody, when 9 times out of 10, the people that really care about you will be there for you. And that's important, to be able to reach out to somebody and to say, you know,
well,
hey, you know,
for me, it was like, I guess everyone has like a different bottom, right? And for me, it was just like, the funny thing is that 2 days before it all like exploded, I felt like I was at the top of my everything. Like, yay, I'm the greatest person in the world. And then 2 days later, you look back and you're like, holy fuck, I'm at the very, I've literally hit the bottom. Like, there's nowhere to go from this, but whatever. And with my therapy and with just a lot of, I've been reading a lot of books and stuff like that. And there's this one thing, and it's kind of cliche, but if you're not moving forward, you're either standing still or you're falling backward.
Absolutely.
And that has been so important to me, you know what I mean? Just always keep moving forward and forward and forward. And yeah, man,
I like that.
The last 4 months has been a fucking hell, kind of hell on earth, but the last couple of months has been a recovery, and it's been so good for me. And the way I feel today compared to the way I felt before, it's just like I feel good, you know what I mean? I look forward to GOAT, and I look forward to the Riptides, and I look forward to seeing my friends, and I look forward to all this stuff. And I know deep down inside, it's like everything's going to be good. And I'm glad I took that time. I'm glad I took the time to just learn that, you know what I mean? And just, I had a lot of fucking late nights, you know, by myself, rolling around on the floor, you know what I mean? But I'm good now, you know what I mean? Like, well, I'm a work in progress, but I feel really good.
If you're ever interested, I am a level 2 Reiki practitioner. So I have certification in Reiki healing, which if it's something you're interested in, I could always offer to do a Reiki session on you.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I was going to say too, I'm sorry, but I have no idea what you're talking about. So,
so Reiki,
please explain. You're not the first.
Reiki is universal energy healing. So I take the healing energy from the universe, and I can act as like a carrier for that and transport that to you. But it's really helpful for overcoming many obstacles, for healing, for trauma, for mental health.
Does it work on Japanese guys?
Yeah, well, it's a Japanese. It's
I thought it sounded
Japanese. It's by a Japanese master who had created Reiki.
Yeah, for sure, I'll take you up
so
on that.
So that's not, if you're ever interested, let me know.
I mean,
it's very relaxing. It also involves like meditation and.
I'm interested. So. I am.
I also imagine that having a dedicated psychologist working with you. I'm curious to know, you know, what sort of therapy that she provides. You know, has it been really helpful? You know, what kind
well,
of details does she get into?
It has been helpful, because you can talk to your friends, you know what I mean? But your friends, you get contradicting advice. One friend will say something that's really like poignant and be like, yeah, that's right, I should do that. The next friend, I'll say, well, somebody said this, and they're like, no, you got to do this. And then you talk to the next person. Mm-hmm. Excuse
it's
me.
It's nice to have unbiased.
Even though I pay a pretty penny for this girl, I find her very, very helpful. And I don't feel like I'm being a burden to her because that's her job. Right.
Yeah.
And she doesn't look at it from a personal point of view as a friend would. You know what I mean? Where they're like, well, you know you, and I don't want to say anything to you that might make it worse for you type of thing. She's just very clinical and just like she's a professional. She knows her stuff. So she'll just be like, the reason you're kind of you're feeling this way is because blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But it's not like this is why. This is just this is listen to this and think about this.
Yeah. Chemically or biologically, does this
relate to you? Both. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That neutral clinical soundboard that you have to just you say things and they say, oh, well, you know, what do you think about that? And it kind of gives you that moment of, you know, you've got somebody to talk to that really doesn't have something about you that they want to protect or that has something about you that they, you know, they're a completely neutral party that you can just talk to. That has helped me immensely when I was dealing with you know, stuff myself. I went to see a counselor about that too. And, you know, it's a kind of a different situation, but the result is the same. And I know having that neutral sounding board to kind of play your ideas off of
and a singular voice.
Yeah, exactly. It's so helpful. Absolutely.
I've also seen I was seeing a psychotherapist as well, for a while, and I found it very, very, very helpful. And I always look forward to my meetings with her. And so it definitely takes a lot. It takes a lot of, like Polly was saying, it takes a lot of courage to be able to kind of face that you may need to talk to someone.
Yeah.
So like, I give you kudos to anyone who's able to, you know, reach out and do that. Cause I think it's so helpful.
Yeah. Well, it's the only thing I could do at the time. You know what I mean? I needed to, I ended up going to a, wow, this is getting deep. I ended up calling up a really good friend of mine who was in a recovery program for like the last 10 years, and I'd been drinking like a ton at the time, and I ended up calling a friend of mine just because I was just in such a vulnerable state, you know what I mean, and just questioning all the shit, that all the mistakes I'd made and the reason why I did them. And I ended up going to like a meeting, mm-hmm. like an NA meeting, and just desperate, you know, at the time. Fuck sakes, Polly.
And NA, sorry, what is?
Well, it's AA. There's like AA, and but there's NA, but they deal with both. It's because alcohol is a drug, right? So you can go an NA meeting or an AA meeting, and
Narcotics Anonymous. Is that?
Yeah, that's what it was. But that's what he was familiar with, and I just said I just wanted to see what it was like. You know what I mean? I wanted to go, but So I just wanted to experience a bunch of stuff as I was going through this process of just kind of like recovering and healing and just discovering, you know, this new kind of thing in my life. And it was very eye-opening, you know what I mean? And you kind of realize, yeah, you got problems, but there's people out there with worse problems than you. Holy shit. Like, I sat in that meeting and I was just like, I enjoy a few beers like after work and stuff like that, but I am not in this, you know, all the fucking power to the people that have the bravery and the strength to go to those meetings and try to clean their lives up. But I was not at the level of that.
And I know personally that helps keep me in check. The same kind of thought is just, you know, how much worse your situation can actually be if you were to kind of put yourself out of your own scenario.
It was perspective. It really was. It's just like, am I just feeling sorry for myself for something I can actually have enough power to control? Then you hear stories of people that literally like lose their kids and like lose their families and just got out of prison and jail and all this stuff. And I'm just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
For like people to spiral into something.
You could cycle down to that. You totally could fall into that thing. But at the point it was just like, no, this is just like, I felt so bad. Like I felt so like a fish out of water in there. Like I felt like a fraud in there.
Yeah.
You know, I've admitted like I drink too much for sure. Like I have no misconception of that at all, but wow. That was like night and day, you know what I mean? But it gave me perspective of like, maybe I should stop being so like, meh, me.
I don't want to get to that point where I need that kind of thing.
I guess. Yeah. It's just, it was eye opening, and it was very important to go to that meeting for me to sit there with those with that group. And I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little separate of a circumstance for me, but when I really hurt my leg and I almost had to have it amputated and I was recovering and I was lying on a couch and I had a lot of blood loss in my leg, I kept thinking to myself, once I'm better, you know, I'm really going to appreciate what it's like to just be walking around on two legs. And then so I try to go back to that moment every time I'm upset and ungrateful for whatever small circumstances going on in my life, mm-hmm. where I want to just realize that it was much worse at that point. I know that that is my own little story, and you know, there's a lot of different things.
I get that completely.
You don't know what you got till it's gone, and then you get to some point where you have to look at your life and say, oh shit, do I keep going down that road or not? And you see something like that and you say, well, okay, well, I'm going to choose this road, not that one. And that's,
and as bad as you think like you have whatever's going on in your life, as bad as you think it is, trust me, or trust anything, it could always get friggin' worse. So if you're at the point where you still have the power and the control to fix things, then stop feeling sorry for your fucking self and fix things to the best of your ability. Lean on friends, lean on psychologists, whatever, but you're not at that point yet. And if you have the ability to do it, then do it. And that takes strength, right? That takes initiative. That takes you wanting balls to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, cause I mean, not that, you know, the first thing that comes up in a lot of these things is that you have to admit to yourself that you've got some problem that you need to fix. And that's, you know, it kind of sounds cliche, but it's the truth, right? You can't fix anything about yourself until you know what it is. And that takes introspection and just having the strength to look at your own life and say, well, okay, this is what's wrong with me.
Well,
hell, half the people don't even want to admit there's anything wrong with them.
Everybody struggles with something, and everybody makes mistakes, but they don't have to define you. They don't have to define who you are, because you can come back, you know?
And even if, let's say, somebody's struggles are sincerely much worse than another person's struggles, technically speaking, emotionally, I think that they almost feel that they are the same feelings of emotion for each party either way. There's only a certain level of sadness or grief or upsetness that you can really get to. So somebody who might have had something that wasn't so bad compared to somebody that had something really bad happen, doesn't the person who had something not so bad happen could actually be not coping with it as well as somebody that had a really bad circumstance.
Yeah,
happen.
I agree
so,
with that.
You know, there's
I agree with that completely.
Details.
Yeah, well, I guess it's different for everybody because everybody's a different person. You know, some people do one thing and other people do other things, and I don't know. As long as the outcome is right and you're healed and you don't just cover it over and just.
Well, it's how you deal
deflect,
with problems.
Deflect,
that,
deflect, I guess.
Yeah, how you deal with problems is what makes you who you are, almost, you know? Right. Isn't that that's a Rise Against lyric, isn't it?
Well, probably. It sounds like
survive.
One.
How you survive is what makes us who we are.
Yeah.
Something like that. But it's the truth, right? Like, it's somebody who's willing to look at themselves and identify a problem and deal with it is a completely different person than somebody who just refuses to see that they have any faults.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a big part of self-development, is recognizing that you have a problem within yourself that you want to fix. And that takes courage. That takes strength. That takes so much to be able to do something like that.
Yeah. I was just going to mention, you know, for those people who are, you know, sort of experiencing any like distress or having a really hard time, like there are resources in Ottawa that you are able to go to. You can always go to your closest community center and just speak with someone there, and they'll get you in touch with someone to speak with. You can call the distress line, or you can even call the city of Ottawa at 311, and they're a 24-hour service. And you can just say, hey, like, I'm having a really hard time, I need to speak with someone, and they'll be able to help you out with who you can reach as well. And I'm sure Mike can post those links as well after.
Of course I will. Absolutely. Having an eye-opening kind of revelation within my own brain, I realize these things are very important. And I hope if there's anybody out there that ever needs to talk, even, pardon me, if you don't want to go to the lengths of, you know, talking to a stranger, you can always email me, because I'll talk to you.
Okay.
Or you can
so sweet.
You can email Polly, you can email Josh, and you can email Sarah. And
Polly J. Fox on Facebook. Send me a message if you need to talk to somebody. Hell, I'll, you know.
yeah, I'll put the email addresses up, and if you just want to reach out and, you know, just talk a little bit, we'll all help you, right?
I'm open.
If there's 10,000 emails, it might be a little difficult at first, so we would... But I would imagine that
Josh will
wouldn't
get to
be
them.
The case. It might take a few years for us to get back.
All right.
We'll be there.
Cool. Let's play one more song, and then we'll come back with the closing out of episode 41. This is Ego and Vice. Wow, what a crazy episode. This has been probably my favorite episode so far. All right.
Yay.
I don't know what the song this is going to be, but on the outside, we're going to come back, and we'll say goodbye. This is Ego and Vice.
Shit, I broke, now it's a long way. Shit, I broke, now it's a long way.
So I think that was a great dive back into the Ego and Vice podcast after a couple of months off. This has been the season premiere of season two. Yeah. Any last words, Pauly J?
I love you.
Pauly J is going to be on the show about 10 times this season. Sarah D.
I'm happy to be back in Goat.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes open. Goat has some stuff coming up in the future. Any last words? Josh B.
It was a pleasure being on your season premiere, and I appreciate all of the good words for Wizard Greens.
Yeah, Wizard Greens. We're going to put up a whole bunch of links for everything we talked about, and check out local music, check out local businesses, and follow it, I guess. So I'm here for the next 11 months, so get used to me. But until then, my name is Mike. This is Ego and Vice. The end of season premiere, season two. As for Pauly J.
Yo.
Sarah D. Josh B.
Out.
And Nicola.
And Nick B, I guess. Wait.
No.
No, he's the silent majority. That's fine. All right, cool. We'll see you next week. Okay. Thanks.
Cheers. See ya.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.